You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. All Silverados and Truck Nation overlay, 10 to 15 specials with cash rebates or payments. All trucks are showing max factory rebates. Learn more at LakewoodChev.com. Trucker, what's your favorite movie to quote?
Top Gun.
Really?
Not even close.
Huh. Like, which quote do you use?
Oh, buddy. Line them up. Whatever you want. I mean, what situation are you in? There's a quote for every situation you'll ever find yourself in life from Top Gun.
So what is your, like, what's the one you use the most?
Take me to bed or lose me forever? Yeah, that's a big one there. Used that one just the other day. I'm lost forever, by the way.
Yeah. Thank God.
I mean, everything from turn 'em and burn 'em to, you mess up just once, you'll be flying a cargo plane full of rubber dog bleep out of Hong Kong. That's another one. My brothers and I often throw that at each other.
Okay. All right. No, that's all right. I don't mind.
You can be my wingman any day.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You can be mine. There's just lots, man. I mean, lots. And we've talked about Top Gun on the various radio segments many times.
Is that your favorite movie of all time?
Wow. I mean, if it's on, you basically just shut down till it's over. Yeah. I mean, you sit down and you watch it.
Yeah, see, that's not mine, but yeah, that's okay.
I mean, like, the one thing we obsess about that we're one day hoping to run into an actor from the movie is to ask, we're obsessed with what Kelly McGillis was eating when Tom Cruise went to her house. Like, she was eating, like, little chunks of something. Like, she was, like, kind of talking to him in the white shirt and sort of, like, we're like, what is she eating? Like, is it, like, little chunks of chicken? Maybe edamame beans. We're not sure, but we've always tried to figure out what she's eating, and we haven't been able to get an answer yet.
Wow.
Top Gun's a big deal, man.
No,
it's
clearly.
A big deal. I'm sorry.
Clearly.
It's just a big deal.
Yeah, it's classified, I could tell you, but then I have to kill you. I'm pretty sure that's another one from Maverick, if I'm not mistaken. Now, the Leon Draisaitl negotiations. Obviously, in Oilers land, people get fired up over things. When I look at Kucherov and Gaudreau and Monahan and so many other ones recently that go late into the summer, sometimes, you know, right up until before the season starts, in the case of Gaudreau and Kucherov last year, I don't see any quick resolution, and I don't necessarily believe it's necessary. What do you think?
Well, it'd be way better if it was a quicker resolution. It would be way better if it went smoothly and they could come to terms and get it done with. Never does a player great to sit out at all if it gets pushed that far, and I don't know that it will. It's not ideal. And so, but that's the thing. I mean, I can't remember exactly what Chiarelli's quote was the other day, but he said we need to do a hockey deal that makes sense for our hockey team. So they're just waiting them out. I mean, I think they're going to stick to their guns to a certain degree and try and get a deal done that makes sense for where they view Draisaitl's value is at. Now, if somebody wants to come in and spoil the party, then so be it. They'll have no choice. But left to their own devices, them versus Draisaitl's camp, I think they've got an area they're willing to go to, and they'll do what they need to do to get them in that range. And it could drag on for quite a while here, and I don't know whether it gets into training camp or not, but it could drag on for sure.
Ryan Schauger from TSN joins us. Schauger, Peter Chiarelli again on Saturday mentioned Ryan Strom as a guy who feels a natural center. He mentioned he talked to him four different times and is a center. So ears perk up. I look at that and I say, okay, so you got McDavid, you got Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, and Strom. Obviously not all four are going to play center because Letestu is a fourth line center. So you could go with McDavid, Nugent Hopkins as two, Strom as your number three to start, have Draisaitl play on McDavid's wing like they did at the end of the season and hope that they just crush it. Give Strom some soft minutes and Nugent Hopkins with Lucic and Slepyshev, I would guess, as kind of the tougher minute line. Or would you prefer McDavid down the middle with Draisaitl number two, Nugent Hopkins number three in the soft minutes, and Strom on McDavid's wing? What do you think is better?
I think it's better if Draisaitl's a center. I think it's better if they can have McDavid as the one center and Draisaitl as the two center. I think that playing against softer competition, I think they are going to be able to do that. or they're going to be able to play McDavid and Draisaitl together, and they're going to be able to power their way through games offensively. But I think when you match up against the better teams, as we saw in the playoffs, the more effective overall team game is when you split those two up. So I think we're going to see exactly the same thing. Todd McLellan is going to want to try and keep them split up, but if they're not getting results, he's going to go back to his guilty pleasure, which is throwing Draisaitl and McDavid together. And as I've stated before, that playing Draisaitl and McDavid together almost won them a division title because they were so effective. They were one of the best, if not the best, offensive duos in the league. And they were able to get past the weaker teams, just powering their way through offensively. But when you get into a seven-game series against a team that can match up, now all of a sudden you got to change the look up. So I think they're going to try really hard to play them separately, but they're going to be going back to it when they know they need to find the offense. If they go into slumps, if they go into lose a couple of games, it's so tempting for him to go with that look. So I know I was a little bit surprised when Shirelli said that too. Strome sees himself as a center. Peter kind of. I just thought, I'm not sure how that's going to work. That will work when Draisaitl plays on McDavid's wing. But I know they don't want to do that necessarily long-term either. So, very interesting.
Yeah, it is. What it does do, I could see, honestly, them starting Strome at center on the third line. Having Nugent Hopkins with Lucic and Slapyshev. And going McDavid with Draisaitl and Maroon, because the month of October is extremely favorable for the Oilers. They only play 10 games the entire month. They have like 3 days off and 4 days and 2 days twice. So lots of practice time, which the players and coaches said they didn't get enough of last year, because in November, in only 30 days, they play 16 games. So I wonder if he overloads that top line early to ensure better success and then kind of see how things go in November.
See, I think as much as Ryan Strome might say, hey, I'd prefer center, I'd like to play center, I cannot imagine a scenario where he would pout at getting a shot on the right side next to McDavid.
Oh, 100% agree.
Because if you're bringing Ryan Strome in, expecting him to produce with Drake Caggiula and Zach Cassian, good luck.
Well, I have Cassian on the third, on the fourth line, right?
Okay, so who's your third right winger then? Puljujärvi?
Puljujärvi, yeah.
Okay, well,
that's
good
not
luck with that.
But it's softer minutes, right? Because they have a home schedule, a lot of days break. And you're going to put McDavid's line and Nugent Hopkins' line out against the other team's top two lines and go from there.
Yeah, see, I think the best chance for success with Ryan Strome is for him to discover some offense and to start feeling it offensively. And bury him on the third line with guys who don't produce, soft competition or not, is not going to do that. I think he was brought in to give him Jordan Eberle's minutes an opportunity to see what kind of numbers he can push, to see what kind of offense he can produce. Now, I might be wrong. They might have gone out and got a third-line center so they can play Draisaitl and McDavid together. That's not my gut feel on it. My gut feel, regardless of what Shirelli said the other day, is that Ryan Strome will start with one of either McDavid or Draisaitl on the right side, and they're going to say, let's find the touch. Let's find the offense. Play with a world-class player, play on the wing, and shoot everything that comes your way. Be a shooter. And they're going to see if they can get some offense out of this player, as opposed to burying him on the third line with guys that don't produce and saying, good luck finding your confidence. Drive this line, good luck finding your confidence. I just see it going the other way.
What about Nugent Hopkins, considering he can't win a draw to save his life? And if Draisaitl's your second-line center, he takes tough minutes with McDavid. Could you put Nugent Hopkins? I would assume he's going to play the right wing, because if you put Nugent on the left side, then you're asking either Maroon to play right wing, which I don't think they want to do, or Lucic or Caggiula, and I guess maybe Caggiula. But now you're asking two guys to play positions they've never played at the NHL level: Nugent Hopkins left wing, and then one of those guys on the right side. So,
well, I mean, I'm not sure what they do about the Nugent Hopkins face-off situation. They certainly haven't solved it. I know that for sure. Strome's not a strong face-off guy, so even if you played him on the wing with Nugent Hopkins, it's not like he can step in and dominate in the face-off circle. If I were Zach Cassian, I'd be all over that. He took on the role of penalty killer for the first time in his career and did a really good job at it. I could see him being a really good face-off guy when he sets his mind to it. I think the Oilers are expecting a bump from Draisaitl in the face-off circle. I think they're expecting him to be over 50% this year, because just through development. And when he's good, man, he dominates in the face-off circle. When he has a bad night, he's terrible. I think they're looking for an increase from him. I think they're looking for a bump from McDavid. I think they probably are done expecting more from Nugent Hopkins on that front. So I mean, it might cost Ryan some valuable offensive minutes if he doesn't sort that out, or if they don't have a player out there with him who can win some of those draws. I don't know what the answer is. They haven't solved that one yet. But I do imagine that the two guys that are going to play the most, McDavid and Drysdale, they expect both of those guys to kick up a little bit.
Ryan Rashog from TSN. The Dallas Stars have made the most moves of any team. They were a 109-point team a few years ago and then completely tanked it last year. Obviously, their goaltending wasn't great, but that was just one of their issues. They improved their goaltending in Bishop. They bring in Mathot. They brought in Radulov. They brought in Tyler Pitlick.
Man, they did a lot, eh?
Which central team do you think is most likely to fall out of the top four in the central if Dallas is jumping back into the top?
All right, so who all were in the top four? So Chicago was there, Minnesota was there, Nashville was there, and St. Louis were there, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't see Nashville taking too huge a step back. They're still going to have the goalie. They've kept their defense intact. They're working hard on adding more offense if they can. Don't know if it'll happen or not. They signed Bonino. I don't know that they'll take too big a step back. I mean, have the St. Louis Blues improved their scenario a lot, do you think? I mean, they've got a good blue line. We know that. Colton Parayko is going to re-sign here. That's going to cost them some money. I don't know if they've nudged the ball forward enough, or if they've nudged the ball forward at all, frankly. So maybe you could see St. Louis. I think Chicago has done a decent job of putting, and I know it's kind of like, well, getting the old guys back together, but I don't mind the group of guys that they put back together. So I don't think they necessarily take a big step backwards. So I guess maybe St. Louis.
Okay. No, that's fair.
What do you think?
Yeah. I'm still not enamored with Minnesota. I don't know why.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe.
Dubnyk will give them good goaltending through the regular season, but Yeah, I agree with you. Mini could be an interesting one, but we would have said the same thing about Minnesota heading into last season, and they were blowing the doors off for quite some time there. So they're an interesting one. Yeah, I would agree with you. They're definitely a bit of a question mark too.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe it's just because there's nothing about that team that really rivets me. That's like, okay, like I look at Dallas and they got Ben and they got Sagan, you got Tarasenko and some elite defensemen in St. Louis, and I look at Minnesota and I'm just kind of like, well, they got a lot of good players. And which is obviously very important and necessary to win. They don't have anybody that really blows my doors off. So
what they do? They added Anis, I think they added.
Yeah,
trade, right?
Yeah, Scandella. They lost Scandella and Pominville, of course, and whatever. Yeah. Pominville had a tough year last year for them, but they lost Folan as free agency. It's a little bit of depth on their blue line, so they're obviously still a very good team, but
yeah,
it might be. Hey, the fifth team in the Central might be pushing to cross over into the Pacific Division for the playoffs again this season. It's happened every year except last year.
Yep, definitely could be. And how about Colorado, hey? We sit and wait. I mean, it sounds like the ask from Sakic is just exorbitant and getting more ridiculous as they wait. I mean, he's got to be the most conservative general manager in the league, and painful to sit here and hear rumors about all these guys that they're willing to move and they never do anything.
Well, yeah, I always wonder, is it the agents saying, hey, we're looking at moving these guys because, their players want out and they never want their player to come out and ask for a trade because I guess they're worried about how it looks, even though lately guys have asked for trades, they never got the trade, at least right away, and they still played well in Trouba and Drouin. Right. So I don't, if Duchesne wants to get traded, then come out and say, I want out.
Well, I don't think he's had to say that. I mean, I think it's really obvious they're trying to trade him. I mean, we know they've had discussions with the Nashville Predators. We know Sakic is engaged in consistent discussions with other teams. They were talking to Montreal, but they just aren't ever able to pull the trigger. That's the thing. We've been hearing about Duchesne. I don't think this is about, maybe Sakic really isn't trying all that hard to trade him. Maybe he's trying to trade the player. He's just asking, it sounds like, for such an incredible amount in return. It's just never going to happen. So, I mean, Duchesne's 2 years away from unrestricted free agency. That's going to put a cap on his value in return for a trade. So either trade him now so you don't lose him for nothing, because he's probably not re-signing. The sooner you trade him, the more value he has because he has more time left on that contract. But if you try and hold up the deal looking for multiple first round picks and prospects and a guy that can play now and you're just the clock is just ticking off of his contract, and the value of having him diminishes because he's just on his way to, now if you trade him next summer and teams can negotiate with him as part of the trade, that's different, right? Because if you trade him after July 1st next year, then he can negotiate his new deal. And then teams that you're potentially trading them to, you give permission to talk contract with them, and then you get more in return. But trying to trade them now with asking such an incredibly high price, it's tough because teams don't know if they're buying Matt Duchene for only two seasons. And that'll considerably knock down what they're willing to pay.
Shogger, have fun, and good luck. Unfortunately, I won't be able to make the wedding, but have fun in a few weeks. Don't pass out. Get up there. Be fine.
Yeah, no, I'll be good, buddy. I got lots of support, and it'll be tons of fun.
Please, please just send a transcript of your brother's chirps of their speeches. That's really
chirps from Revelstoke, 2017.
Yeah, that's what I would like.
Yeah, sounds good, man. No worries, and it should be a good time. So, and by the way, if there's anything big that happens, and if the orders are wheeling and dealing and trading and stuff, then let's hook up. And anytime you want to do some more this summer, let's do it.
Sure, and when they announce who's starring in Top Gun, we'll have you on.
All right, sounds good, buddy.
All right, it's Ryan Rashog. The Rashog Report brought to you by Audi City Edmonton, St. Albert Trail, and 131st Avenue.